Welcome to Band of Brothers Radio, your internet outpost, supplying refuge, hope, and biblical counsel for men in the midst of daily battles, and where no man is left behind.
Jesus died for our sins. His blood washed away these stains. He died to give you freedom. So why do you still wear those chains, 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 chains?
This is Band of Brothers Radio.
Good day and welcome to Band of Brothers Radio. My name is Raul, and you have come to that location on the internet where we talk about the real issues that men face on a daily basis. It's all about being transparent, brutally honest, biblically sound, and offering both hope and help for men. God bless you today, brother. I got to tell you, we have a topic today that there isn't a guy who's listening that cannot relate in some manner to this. How do we deal with the stress of today's life that we have in this world that seems to be pulling us and tugging at us and luring us and doing all sorts of things? And we just feel sometimes overwhelmed with this. What does the Bible say about stress? How's that look? We got to let the Holy Spirit kind of lead us through this a little bit. But in the studio with me today to talk about it, because he's the stressless man. That would be Cowboy Duke.
Yes. Stressless. I love that. That is what it feels like when you're on your horse.
Yes.
Out on the trail.
Yes.
Which I did this weekend.
Yeah.
There was no stress.
Yes.
Yeah. For that period of time.
There you go. There you go. Well, we're going to be chewing on that and going there as a main topic this morning and everything. How are you doing otherwise? You doing okay?
I'm doing fantastic.
How's the ministry down south in the county south of us? He heads up a chapter of Band of Brothers for Christ down south there, and you've got some men that have been coming. And
it's very blessed, very blessed.
All right.
Yep.
Good. Glad to hear that. Hey, listen, we always like to kind of kick things off with a little bit of encouragement for the men. Because we never know when we might lose you. In other words, you might be listening only for about 10 minutes and you may not like the topic, or maybe you just have some place you have to be and you can't listen to anything other than the first 10 minutes. So we always like to kick it off with a little bit of encouragement. Anything come to mind? Are you blank? Seriously blank? Okay. How about this?
I'm not blank.
Well, I know.
I have this ongoing
I know you're not blank,
encouraging viewpoint. So I'm going to give Raul a chance to encourage somebody here.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I never have an opportunity to do that at all. Well, I tell you, how about we go down this trail here of just being there's something about being in God's presence. I believe that we are created to be in God's presence for eternity. Scripture talks about that. He lets us know and reminds us that we're created to be with him, okay? And what we're doing on this earth, this is only part of it. Believe it or not, I believe this is our eternity also. This is our time on this earth to reach others, to let them know of Jesus. I mean, Matthew 28, he talks about it in reminding all of us who read the word that, hey, we're to go and make disciples of all men and all nations. That's basically teaching them about Jesus. And his command, he says, teach them to obey, okay, or to observe. Obey is his commands, right? And in so doing, what ends up taking place is that more people end up coming to know the Savior and the fruit of the Spirit, the joy of actually having that relationship with Jesus Christ. Because of the grace that God has bestowed upon us through his sacrifice of his Son. The perfect sacrifice. That's where the victory was, right there with Jesus. So, in essence, what it comes down to is that we get the opportunity of being able to, knowing that we have made a decision in accepting him not only as our Savior, okay, but our Lord, the manager of our lives. That means that I give it all to him. And he's going to show me what it is I need to be doing. And as a result of that, we get to share that with others because he says, freely you receive, freely give, right? So as a result of giving, believe it or not, there's one person or one thing I'm not thinking of when I'm helping someone else.
That's you.
That's me.
Yeah.
Because otherwise I'm going to be caught up in me. Now, you can overload. You can do too much of that where you're thinking so much of others. You're not taking care of the responsibilities of taking care of what God has given you to take care of, which includes not only your family and your relationships, maybe your wife if you're married, your children, but it also includes not taking care of the temple that God has given you by giving it enough rest, giving it the right nourishment, spending the time that you need to spend with the Lord through His Word and in prayer and in listening prayer, you know, being in His presence. Because truly, that we ought to desire that more than anything, because that's what we're going to be doing for eternity. So there's a little bit of encouragement. You want to add anything to that, brother?
Oh, man, I could talk for a while on that one. No, that wasn't encouraging, because that is the bottom line. That's the truth. That's what... And sometimes we need to do that. We need to do that dance, get back to the baseline, get back to, okay, why am I getting up every day, and why am I toiling throughout the day, and how does this fit into God's kingdom and all that? Yeah. It's all an encouragement, brother.
All right, there you go. There's a little encouragement, which is a good segue into what we're going to be talking about. Okay.
Yeah.
And you know, we had mentioned, you had sent me an email and said, hey, let's talk about, you know, stress and living in today's world and dealing with the stress. And you know, the Bible doesn't use the word stress. We can't find that anywhere.
Uh-huh.
Okay. But when you look at when you break down the meaning of stress and everything, Jesus does talk about that sort of thing. And it's mentioned in other parts of the Bible of not being anxious, worrisome, fearful, okay, because that's where a lot of these will end up leading us toward, okay? So in Matthew chapter 6, that's where we'll go right off the bat, just to kind of kick things off. It says in verse 25, it says, therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Then he goes on to explain, he says, look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what we shall drink, or what we shall wear? Anyway.
Oh, ye of so little faith. That's where that one comes from, is
that
verse right there.
Yeah. So all of a sudden now we're sitting there and just going, okay, you know what? So true. I mean, this is Jesus talking. This is the Son of God. This is God speaking to us, speaking to each one of us who hear this or read it. Okay? Say, listen, man, I take care of the birds. You don't think I'm going to take care of you? I don't know, Lord. And we get so caught up sometimes in our lives. It doesn't matter what age we are. I think sometimes it just depends on how much we're willing to desire certain things in our lives. There's certain priorities, and our priorities sometimes get changed up, thinking, oh, this becomes a priority. That's more important. This is more important.
Well, there it goes to that big bucket that we've put this label on the bucket called stress, where all those things you just talked about go end up in that bucket. Worry, fear, anxiety. I mean, they all have this general label of stress. And so what Matthew's saying here is, don't stress out. Take it one day at a time and pray. Is that what he's saying? Is he just saying, have all the faith in God, that quit worrying about this stuff, because as long as you're centered on him, it's all going to work out?
Yeah. Well, Matthew wrote down what Jesus said. Jesus
right.
is the one that's
well,
speaking,
Matthew's
right?
quoting, sure.
Yes. And the fact is that really what it comes down to is that in our lives, I mean, whether, okay, we know that we need to have relationship, Okay. That's part of it. And so we do. We grow up and we have a relationship. And in a sense, that men are attracted to the girls. And as a result of that, sometimes a relationship begins. And then there's a marriage. And then it goes on. Because part of that marriage is that, hey, we want to have children. We want to have a family. Okay. Now, there has to be responsibility. There has to be an income that to be able to for the family, for the relationship. And, you know, I'm just kind of just going through this and just quickly in a sense, because what ends up taking place is that all of a sudden now it's just the two of you. And then all of a sudden you end up finding out that you're going to be a father. Okay. Now there's a lot of anxiety, but there's also a lot of fear. There's a lot of saying, oh, this is the greatest thing. And yet there's a lot of, oh, I don't know. You know, what do they give us a manual for this? You know, what happens? And as she gets, then things really start to change. This woman that you were in love with that seemed that you were the only one, all of a sudden you don't become number one. You're not number one on her list anymore, in a sense. Things change.
So they do, all the time.
And all of that creates this emotion and in these feelings of sitting there going, okay, how do I deal with this? You know? Did she just not like me? And then we end up not talking to anybody, because we're guys. We don't want to talk to anybody. If we ask anybody for their advice, we're telling them that we don't know what's going on and we need help. And the last thing we want to do is...
Yeah, that would show weakness and...
Well, that's that ego and pride of mine that gets in the way on everything, right? And then so what that does is just create even more stress. How do you deal with this sort of thing, okay? But the simple fact is that in this world, and that's just the first, that's not even the beginning. The beginning started probably with the stress and everything of the wedding, you know, who's coming to the wedding, who's not going to be there, all of those things.
Yeah, but that's overshadowed by all of the joy.
Sometimes. Really, believe me, I've seen some where it's just like, okay, you know, the bride and groom do not look very happy about this.
Because they're worried about all the details.
All the details and stuff. Yeah, and yeah. But the point is that all of a sudden our, you know, really we're sitting here. Here's the thing. In verse 34, okay, it says, therefore, now this is Jesus still talking, therefore do not be anxious about tomorrow, okay? And in NIV and a couple others, it says, do not worry about tomorrow. He uses the word worry and anxious in the ESV and then also in King James. But anyway, he says, therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Meaning, hey, listen, there's enough trouble. You have enough challenges in today. Don't worry about tomorrow. Just take care of today. Okay? And I got to tell you, this is in parentheses, right? Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow. This is not a suggestion. This is Jesus saying, don't worry. Don't be anxious. That's what he's saying.
Yes, he is. So he's saying that, but I'll use my own example, which is why I love doing this on this radio show, is it usually means that I've got something going on that I need to minister to or someone that I know does. So that's great advice. So how do we apply that?
A lot depends on what it is, though, because, see, here's the other thing. The things of the world, the stress that takes place, you know what also causes stress? Sin.
Okay.
Sin causes stress. Think about in a time when we have conscious sin that's going on in our lives, we're trying to keep something hidden. We're trying to do something and not let others know about it. Okay? In some cases, we don't care. Because that's because, you know, we've been, our mind has been altered and so on and so forth, whether it be through, a mind-altering substance, okay? Whatever, okay? But I'm talking about in general for a sober-minded person, okay?
Okay.
Being able, to, if there's conscious sin. If there's sin going on in our lives, boy, I'm going to tell you, there's a reason why there's a little bit more stress, because all of a sudden you're trying to balance darkness with light and trying to be something else that you really
when you're
don't
living a lie
from.
And that's exactly yeah no in my case it's just life gets burdensome sometimes. We're just overwhelmed with schedules and appointments and children to whatever it is, and I find myself sometimes going, Lord, have I given you enough time today? Did I spend enough time in relationship with you? I should feel more abundant and not so burdened. So what am I doing wrong here? And I find myself having to go back to that baseline. Okay, Lord, am I doing your will? Am I being a good steward of my life, my belongings, my family, it gets, it's easy to get spun out with all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard to know exactly what to do each time, other than what I end up doing is before I, because you'll get angry, you get short-tempered, and I found that in the last few days, there's been a couple of times when I was just short with my granddaughter.
Mm-hmm.
And later I'd think, well, what if she wasn't here? What if something happened? How would I feel about the way I just reacted to her? Yeah. And I'm like, oh, man. So that just adds to that burden, right? So yes, I go back to, okay, how can I stop this from happening so I don't feel that feeling of being burdened or I'm regretful or, okay, I got to be calm. So I just go to prayer. But it seems like it takes a lot of prayer sometimes, brother.
Well, it's not just the prayer. We actually become anxious about the prayer sometimes. I've gone there and, Lord, you know what I'm doing. You know the decisions I've made or what's going to be taking place here. And I just pray that you make this your will, not just mine.
Right.
I don't say that. I'm thinking that.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Well, he knows why you're coming to him in prayer.
Exactly. Okay, so. But I'm sitting there and I'm going, I want my will to be his will. And, and for him to bless it by saying, okay, I'm going to let you, this is my will. Yes, do this. And truly in question, I've found that myself in being quiet with him and listen to that still small voice and maybe even risking talking to another brother that I respect, that I know knows me, and run it by them and getting their 2 cents worth, whether I'm going to like it or not, and just hearing what he has to say. And then ultimately having to listen to what the Lord says to me, because that's really what it comes down to. The fact is that I end up, when I end up making decisions that aren't the best decisions, boy, I tell you what, talk about pick it up and sweep it up and trying to make it all right. It just does not, there's not enough time in the day. And then somebody throws an added thing in there. Somebody who's ill or someone in the family or something that comes in. And here I've made a decision that I made thinking that this might be the best thing for me to do. This is what God wants me to do because I've thought this and I felt this and I know this is what God has. But did I really go to the Lord and wait for his answer and get prompted?
That's a big one, that wait.
Yeah. It says that we need to wait patiently for the Lord and what it is that he has in store for us. We don't want to do that. We make that phone call to our whomever it is. Hey, Duke, I got this challenge that's going on, man. I got to run it by you real quick, okay, if you don't mind. You got a minute? You'd say, okay, go ahead, Raul, and I'd shoot it off to you. Here's what it is. And I just run it off, right? The whole thing. And you're listening, being very kind and loving. And then all of a sudden I'm done. I say, hey, Duke, thanks, man. I got to get going. Appreciate you being there. See you later. Bye. And hang up.
Yeah.
We do the same thing to God.
We do.
We come to him.
It's a little bit of the fire extinguisher deal. Lord, I'm feeling burdened. Help me out here.
And I feel better because I've released the pressure from the pressure cooker. And that's one of the words that you used, right? We all feel that. So we release some pressure. So now I feel a little bit better. Oh, that Duke is great. And man, I didn't really get anything from him. And I'm thinking, he didn't say anything to me. Well, I honestly didn't give you any time to say anything. I just hung up. So I got to go, right? And where you might have had something that you could have shared with me to encourage me, okay, or to be truthful and be upfront with me. I didn't take the time. So it's the same thing I am sometimes when I go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, this is what I'm asking for, This is what I'm asking. And if you would just give me a green light, nudge me or whatever it is. So yes, put it on my bathroom mirror. Just say, yes, do this, Raul. And then I'll do that. And the point is that that's not quite how it happens. It does in some cases, but that's not necessarily the norm in a sense,
No, and I've learned that more often than not, it comes later.
Yes.
And usually in a delivery system you didn't expect.
Yeah.
It's only upon reflection do you say, oh, yeah, well, that took care of that. Well, I just needed to get out of the way and let God be God.
Yeah. Well, I like that. Let God be God. How about let's take a break and think about how often we think about being God. If he only asked us, said, hey, can you do this for a little while, Raul? Yeah, I'll take a couple. I'll take a whole week, Lord. Anyway, we'll be right back. You're listening to Band of Brothers Radio.
Men, don't fight your battle alone. Download our podcast to your iPod every day and take Band of Brothers Radio with you. We got your back covered.
When you need a lasting remembrance of a loved one, you can spend thousands of dollars on an engraved monument, benchmarker, keepsake urn, or flight case. Or you could get the exact same engraved monument at a far lower cost from Cascade Monuments. Right now, explore even bigger savings during Cascade Monuments Anniversary Event. Cascade Monuments ships throughout the United States and Canada. Shop online at cascademonuments.com.
Me empty, so I can be filled, 'cause I'm still holding onto my will, and I'm completed when you are with me. Make me empty till you are my one desire.
Welcome back to Band of Brothers Radio. My name is Raul, and you know, one of the things that we have been talking about, of course, is all about stress and having trouble and everything, and anxiety, high anxiety, and maybe just saying yes, 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 no, 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 and but not hearing exactly what it is that the Lord wants to say to us. We don't want to take the time. In some cases, I don't know about you, brother, but have you ever gone to the Lord in prayer and hoping that he's not going to tell you what you know he's going to tell you?
I think there are times when, yes, subliminally we're thinking, or in the back of our brain we're thinking, hope he doesn't tell me the right answer. Yeah, because then I'll have to do it. No, that's not true, because that'll just add to my stress. Lord wouldn't want to do that. We have all our worldly tools, don't we?
You know, it's not funny. It's just the way that it is, because in the flesh, I'm always looking. It's the way that we're wired and built, and the enemy knows this, in the sense that I'm looking for my pleasure. I'm looking for my comfort, you know, and it's not about that necessarily. You know, Jesus reminds us that, hey, in this world, you will have trouble, you know, so don't be in fantasy la-la land, Raul. You're going to have trouble, and it's going to come. You're going to be tempted, and you're going to be tempted heavy in some cases. But know this, is I'm always going to be here. I will not leave you nor forsake you. So in back to Matthew chapter 6 and verse 34, I think it is, or 33, he gives the answer here. It's after he says, you know, that he knows what is good for us, and what he'll take care of us, he'll feed us, he'll clothe us, and do all these things. And then he goes on, Jesus says, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to us as well. Okay? So, plain
there's the
and
ultimate
simple,
advice right
but
there.
But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, okay? And all these things will be given to you as well. Okay, we hear that. We may even know it to a certain level, but applying it into our lives is a totally different thing. You hear the other verse that says, let's not be hearers of the word, but doers of the word. In other words, I mean, even the enemy, even the demons, even the devil believes in Jesus and in God. That doesn't mean that that's a good thing, that it's all good, right?
Right.
So, I mean, I need to remember that, you know? Even the devil believes in God. So that doesn't mean that by me believing that that's all it takes. No, I've got to actually put this into works. Faith without works is dead. I've got to apply this into my life. But really, one of the things that ends up taking place, I think, when in the stress, at least in my own, and I know I've talked with other men, that when it comes down to in some cases, is a trust in God. Do I trust that God will actually take care of this? You know, Do I trust that God will provide? Do I really trust him enough that he's going to take all of this and he's looking out for my best benefit and he's going to, you know, give me what is necessary, or not so much necessary, what I desire, because that's really what it comes down to.
Well, and what father doesn't want to give his child what he desires? True, but there's also a number of different ways that we learn sometimes when God doesn't say anything, leaves you to, as we were talking earlier, there are times when I will pray the fire extinguisher prayer.
Yes.
Help me, Lord, I need this, you know, whatever it is. And sometimes I'll get something from the Holy Spirit that prompts me in the right direction.
Yes.
But many times, nothing. And when I say nothing, it is nothing seems to come to my rescue. And that's those times when I have to reflect and go, okay, you already told me. That must be what's going on here. Lord, you've already told me. I'm into your word. I read. I pray. I know your word. I'm just not applying it. And that's what you're referring to there.
Yeah. You know, there's another place in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 4. Jesus talks about this. And he goes on and says, I'll give you a couple of verses prior to the one that I want to use. And they have no root in themselves, but endure for a while. Then when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately they fall away.
Hmm.
And others are the ones sown among thorns. Now he's talking about the tares and the weeds, right? There are those who hear the word. I mean, this is about the soils. But the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. So when we are wanting to more of the world's stuff, when it starts to creep into our lives, and these are our priorities, I got to have the American dream, I've got to have a vehicle, I got to make this much money, I got to have those kind of children, I got to have this kind of wife, I've got to be able to have all of these things like this. Now it becomes, and this is what ends, so it's saying it right here. It says, the desires for other things enter in and choke the word. And it proves it unfaithful. Chokes the word of God. In other words, I don't have time for that. And all of a sudden, how often have we all said that at times? I'm so busy, I just didn't have time to be able to get into the word of God today.
We say it way too often.
Yeah.
We can all admit to, I say all, I'll speak for myself, not praying enough, not being in his word enough, because we, or at least in my case, I feel like I have been ordained in a way to manage the family, the work, the ministry, all in a way that you're trying to achieve a balance, so you're not out of whack one way or the other. And when it starts to get out of whack, man, it goes quick.
Yeah.
And that's when the stress, anxiety, worry, and all that comes into play.
Yeah. Because we so much want to be able to make it right, not only for, and we, you know, I've tried to justify it this way. I'm just doing this for my family. So for everybody else, so that they're, you know, really, I've got to get honest with myself. Because if I really looked at it, if I got down deep and honest with myself, I may not admit that to anyone else, but there's a part of it I know that if I'm going to please them and they're going to be happy, I'm probably going to be happy. You know,
okay.
And there's, you know, who would not want to be able to have some of these things, you know? So is that really it? Or is it truly, as the Bible reminds me, is that I need to seek God first above all things. I want his will to be done. In the Lord's Prayer, you know, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So that doesn't mean Raul's will on earth. And then when we get to heaven, it'll be yours, Lord. No, that's not what he's saying. But sometimes that's how it looks like that when I'm doing it the way that I want to have it done, okay? And such a way of being able. And here's the deal. You know, I think we all learn from this. I think we kind of, at least there was a time in my life I didn't learn. I just kept doing it over and over again, kept hitting a wall, doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. You know?
Yes, yes.
And a little insanity taking place. And that in itself will not only drive us nuts, but those around us nuts. Before we know it, we don't have much relationship with people because they don't want to be around crazy people like us, right?
Mm-hmm. No, and there are times when God's word, I look for the answer.
Yes.
You know, the, okay, here it is. There's a period at the end of that. So this must be where Jesus said this to Matthew or to Mark. Now, that'll solve my problem. But it doesn't. It's a piece of a much larger pie. So we're just got to stay, I guess, stay in communion with God all the time throughout the day. And when we're feeling particularly burdened, to go to Him in prayer with that.
Yeah.
Would you say that it's also a good idea to take your burdens to other brothers and allow them to lift you up?
Well, fellowship is always part of this process of getting back in line.
So don't do it on your
recovery.
Own.
Yeah, I mean, Jesus was in fellowship with others. He ate with sinners and the downtrodden. He hung out with them. I mean, the priests were telling us, hey, this Jesus of yours, you know, what's he doing hanging out with the tax collectors and these sinful people? And truly what it comes down to is that the fact is that we need to fellowship. You know, left to our own devices all by ourselves, we're going to end up, we can come up with all kinds of very strange ideas and interpretations on certain things. We can read the Word of God that means one thing when I'm listening to other people and them sharing their experiences because of that scripture. Then I apply it into my own life and say, oh, that's not have anything to do. That's not the same thing in my life. That's not what I see it means, you know. And so the fact is that when I end up in fellowship, I get opportunity with other brothers, okay, not only to be able to share about what that means to me, but maybe talk a little bit about what's going on in my own life.
Is that what you're talking about here in Galatians 6:2, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ?
Yeah, yeah.
Is that just another bottom line?
It's a big part. That's it reminds 6:2. That's our fundraiser that we're doing with golf in Galatians 6:2. We use that 6:2 scramble because bear one another's burdens. And when you're on a golf course, you know your burdens are those hacks that go into the woods and off the fairway and hitting other people or whatever, right?
Yes.
You bear their burdens by having to scramble the best ball type of thing. But anyway, yes, same thing.
And you're not doing it on your own. You got four on the team. And
Exactly. And you're relying on everyone trying to help each other out to be doing it, getting it through the course even better. So you're instead of doing it individually, you're doing it collectively. And there's something about when we have other brothers around with us, we have opportunity of being able to know that we're not alone. Because when we're by ourselves, I tell you what, that's when the enemy loves that. He said, man, I love when you guys are by yourselves, man, especially you leaders. You guys who think that, you know, when you're by yourself, that gives me opportunity to be able to speak to you at times.
Well, because what do? We go, well, I'm not going to burden somebody else with my burdens. I'm just going to work this out.
Yes.
I'll Rambo through this and God will minister to it. I'll just spend more time in prayer.
Yeah.
So then we fix it, right?
Yeah.
At least that's what we think.
Or we just say that's what we're going to do and we never do it.
Yeah.
You know, and because no one's going to question because you are who you are, right? And you don't hang around people who are going to question. So that's one of the advantages for the being alone and being caught up and not being around the crowd is that you can't get an opinion because you're not around people to give an opinion or their experience, right?
Well, and although we're very much checkbox sort of guys the way that our brains are wired, mark this off. I don't want to deal with it again. When it comes to the stresses of this life, I guess we could say, there's not a pat answer that solves it every time because we're just in this journey. So it's always changing, always going to be throwing new stuff at us, right?
Yep, yep.
So maybe part of the trick is to, aside from remembering the truth of God's word, as Mark and Matthew, as Jesus told us, don't worry about tomorrow, all that. Seek the counsel of other brothers so that you share some burdens and get lifted up.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Any other tools that you would employ besides those?
Yes. Okay. I would take a break. That would be one of them.
Okay. Now, well, that doesn't work.
Yeah, we're going to take a break right now. Watch how this works. We're going to take a break. We're going to continue. I'm just going to leave this with you in Proverbs chapter 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths. There you go. Right. We'll take a break. We'll be right back. You're listening to Band of Brothers Radio.
Need more in-depth biblical counsel on a specific subject? Check out our latest of recommended books on the Band of Brothers page at faithplace.org.
Are you having a problem getting reliable internet service at your home or business? Are you disappointed with the company currently providing your internet connection? Maybe it's time that you check out an alternative company that's attracting a growing number of customers. StarTouch Broadband Services. StarTouch is Washington State's largest microwave internet service provider. And StarTouch has now expanded into Oregon as well. Learn how to contact them for a free quote by clicking on the StarTouch logo on the sponsor page of faithplace.org. StarTouch Broadband Services.
StarTouch Broadband Services.
All right, Duke, get down off the stairs. I see you up there bouncing around like the Anyway, that just has a tendency of – I don't know why that that intro, or I should say that – it's not a song, that
– the Rocky
– yeah, the Rocky thing, that theme itself just gets guys going, doesn't it?
It does. Even I was feeling a little weak the other day.
Yeah.
And wouldn't you know it, that's what popped into my head. It's like, okay – get my shoe, tie my shoes tighter, you know, pull up my pants and, you know, put on the gloves and rock and roll. Let's have energy today.
Well, and a big part of that is the fact that we end up thinking that that's all that's necessary for me to be able to get back in line, just pull up my own bootstraps. And actually, that's what I found was my default. That was my weakness, and the weakness is me relying on me. And that's where if we hang out, in other words, with others and stay in communication, not just with other people. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about people who are like-minded. Because we can stay very busy and say, I'm friendly. I'm around other people, other guys and stuff. But they're not the guys who are going to sit there and encourage you. Say, hey, man, how's your heart doing? Not your physical heart. How's your spiritual heart? How's your relationship with Jesus Christ? How's your prayer time? How's your quiet time? How are things at home?
That is, you know, so important.
Those are the things that, believe it or not, are that we need to be able to hear and be able to reply to, because those are barometers. Those are thermometers of being able to let us know where we're at with Christ. Because really what it comes down to, I forget that I need to be seeking him first and foremost above all things, especially when I'm in the midst and feel under pressure of having to make a decision here. And he... you know, it keeps coming back. But seek me first above all things, okay? And then as a result of doing that, that's when I sometimes will get the answer. Now, then after I receive the answer from him and I say, oh, you know, Lord, you're right. This, I don't need to rush on this. Then you give an answer to wherever it is, okay? Mm-hmm. And what did I do with God in the meantime? Instead of acknowledging him and thanking him through that, I used to do this. I'd get him and put him back on that behind the glass that I just broke,
yes,
to put out the fire. So, okay, Lord, I'm going to put you right back up there on the shelf. I'll get you once again when I need you. Thank you for being there. Thank you for loving me. Amen. And then I go about my business saying, okay. You know, that's like switching roles and who's driving the car, you know? Is Jesus the navigator? Yeah. Or should I just be riding and letting him show me, you know, drive me through? You know, the point is that who's really driving the bus here, you know? So
I agree. But our world, I say the struggle, I guess, of the dance is the world does pull us in many different directions, and it does a good job, my friend.
Satan is good at what he does. I mean, he's been doing it for a long, long time, and he's going to do everything he can because he wants many to come with him to the lake of fire at the end. You know, brother, you know, just because you know the Lord, you've accepted him, doesn't mean that you're assured that all of a sudden certain things are going to take place. I'm not going to get into too heavy a deal right now, but the fact is that, you know what, here's the deal. The enemy's not just working on you. He's working on your family. He's working on your wife. He's working on your children, every one of them, your daughters, your young men, your sons, okay? He's working on your nephews and nieces, your brothers, your sisters, not just your brother, sister in Christ, your biological, all of these people that you know, the enemy's working on them too. You think he's only working on you? How arrogant of me to think that way.
Right? Feels that way sometimes.
Right. Yeah. But the fact is that they are all being that way. Who would not want to get and receive prayer or somebody to come up and say, hey, how's your day? Is there anything I can keep you in prayer for? I mean, Seriously, we want to be the light of Jesus, the hands and feet of Jesus Christ in all that we do. We can begin very easily at home. What I mean, by even asking our wives, you know, sweetheart, truly, how is your day? And take the time. Don't just ask her as you're grabbing the keys to the vehicle to head out to wherever it is that you're going. Saying, hey, how's your day, sweetheart? Great. I'm glad it's going well. Hope to see you later.
Well, it almost makes you angry to think that Satan is so good that sometimes by the end of the day, you're wondering, what happened?
Yes.
All the stress, did you get it all done? Did you cross all your T's, dot all your I's? And did you spend enough time with God today? That's the dance.
Well, the thing is plain and simple, is that the Lord is going to give us everything that we need.
Yes.
He's going to give us everything we need. Okay. I mean, that's what he's talking about. The birds of the air, he feeds them, okay? Takes care of them. And how much more important are you than a sparrow, you know? And he knows when a sparrow's light, when it falls to the ground, when it's dead. He knows. You don't think he knows what's going on in our lives? That's what he's letting us know. My goodness, Jesus is reminding us through his word. And that's why so often, brother, that we always encourage men to get into the word of God. Get into the Word of God. Don't just hear it, okay? Do it, you know?
Yes.
And it's not about just the knowledge. It's about really applying it into our lives. And you don't have to get into waiting until you understand most of it. No, just ask the Lord, bless my steps this day. You know, if I'm to go to work, then go to work. And he reminds us, if we get into the Word, he says, hey, when you come home, make sure you love your wife. She's your helpmate.
Yes.
She's one that if you have to make a decision, have her come to me also in prayer. She's your helpmate. I've given her that. How do you know that? Well, because his word says that. In Genesis, he told Adam, he says, I'm going to give you a helper, you know? And that's what it is. I mean, the fact is that he gives us all these promises, and yet we look elsewhere for the answer, when the answer is really within 66 books known as the Bible. Okay, and yet all we need to do is be encouraged to move forward to go in there. And sometimes the answers aren't going to be when we want them.
No, that's the patience piece.
And that's where we just wait on the Lord, you know.
Yes.
And he will bless us all as it comes. So how are you feeling about this topic now?
Fantastic. I feel like I have whole bunch more arrows in my quiver. Because it does, it gets overwhelming sometimes, where you just feel weak. And then there's the backwards thing that really blesses us, is we have to become weak before we can become strong. So I think part of the wisdom in God's word in applying it in this life is that he already knew, of course, in advance we would be feeling these times of burden, particular weight, too much, not enough hours in the day, not enough sleep. And it makes me angry in a way, because that's how Satan is getting in again, and I don't want him in.
That's it.
Isn't that clear cut enough? I don't want him in.
Well, then we have to be willing to do what is necessary to not let him in. We can't sit there and say, God, get the enemy away from me. No, Jesus already told us you're going to be tempted.
So we just go to Band of Brothers Radio, look up the appropriate podcast, and make that our day, right?
Well, you know what? You're going to be led to the Bible in every one of these podcasts. We always lead into the Word of God, because that's really what it comes down to. Okay, we're getting winding down here in a minute or two before we wrap things up, in a sense, for this show. But in 1 John chapter 5. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. Mm-hmm. This is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out his commands. This is love for God, to obey his commands. and his commands are not burdensome. For everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Truly, you want to know, how do you love the Lord? You obey his commands. That's what it says here in 1 John. That's what John reminds us of, that we be obedient to him. So, brother, be fruitful. Go out and think of others more highly than yourselves. Love your wives as Christ loves the church. Teach your children in their coming and their going. Let them know of the Lord in your life. Brother, it's there. The word is so valuable. Those are your life preservers. Those are the things that are going to give you everything that you need. So, how about you pray for our brothers?
Dear Father God, our Lord Jesus, thank you for this message today, Lord. It is our sincere prayer that whatever words that you allowed us to speak today, that it would glorify you and would touch the hearts and minds of the men and women that are listening and give us that additional strength and faith and encouragement to overcome this world. In your name, amen.